Everyone, come on in. It's time for Bible study, Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. And we are here and waiting for you. How y'all doing this evening?
We hope and trust that each of you are having a great day and you've already experienced God's greatness in this day. For this is indeed the day that He's made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. And so we praise God for God including us in what He has in store for us today. And we're excited about what's going to happen even today, for the word of the Lord is true. And we know that we can count on God's word. His promises are sure. And if God said He would do a thing, then it shall come to pass. Is that right, Lady Kim?
Absolutely.
And so we praise God for how He's kept us through many dangers, seen and unseen. And here we are experiencing, this is the 16th day of May. Mm-hmm. And this is my sister's birthday. I had a chance to talk to her today and wish her a happy birthday. And so we're going to get started. We're in the 22nd chapter of Joshua. We're going to do a little refresher, and then we're going to jump right in. I think we left off a couple of weeks ago at verse number 20 or somewhere in that range.
That's correct.
But we're going to just kind of fill in the gaps as we get ready to move from 20 to the close, because there are about how many verses in that 22nd chapter?
I believe there are 34.
34 verses. Okay, yes. And we're about ready to close out, Joshua. But we praise God for each of you. And we're certainly excited about what God is going to do through this time together. We know that somebody's faith is going to increase today, because the word of the Lord is true, and it says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we praise God for our regional minister on the call tonight, and Dr. Crystal Williams up in Nashville, and we're certainly grateful for Brother Andre and Angela up in Flint, Michigan, on tonight, as well as all of those who are in the general area and the vicinity of Memphis and the surrounding communities. Thank you all so very much for being a part of this particular time together tonight. And so we're in Joshua's chapter 22, and we'll see if we can get through that tonight. And we praise God for each of you who are on tonight. Let's have prayer, Lady Kim, and then we'll get ready to get started. As we prepare for this time together. God, we honor you tonight. We bless you, and we yet give you praise. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence, and we thank you for sustaining us throughout this day, and then, God, for including us in your plan for this day. And we certainly realize and we understand clearly that we're nothing without you, and that this is indeed the day that you've made. And so we will in turn rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes.
So now, God, we pray that even as we have gathered from near and far for this time together, that you might allow the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts to be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you.
Love you, Jesus.
And we thank you now for being our God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise God.
Amen.
All right. Let us know the sound is good and that you're getting a clear signal tonight as we prepare for this time together. Lady Kim is going to give us a recap of the experience on yesterday, and then we're going to jump into this particular 22nd chapter of Joshua tonight.
And I'm sure you're going to help me with this recap. Amen. You came from Zechariah, the fourth chapter, verses 6 and 7. And your sermon title was Let God Be God.
Let God Be God.
Let God Be God.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interesting subject title.
Yeah.
Just a reminder for us, mm-hmm. a refresher mm-hmm. for us, that we need to let God be God and stop trying to control things ourselves, I believe, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so Zechariah, the fourth chapter, verses 6 and 7, says, "So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel,
mm-hmm.
not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it."
That's right. That's right. And you know, that particular scripture, particularly the sixth verse, is a familiar verse that we hear oftentimes, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, mm-hmm. said the Lord, that I'll bring it to pass. Oftentimes, and I think as we touched on yesterday, Zerubbabel was really going through a very challenging time, and he was faced with some obstacles in terms of trying to lead in the rebuilding of the wall. Mm-hmm. And it was similar to what Nehemiah mm-hmm. faced, mm-hmm. in that he was discouraged. He was oftentimes, the people were trying to hinder and prevent him from doing what God had assigned to him to do. And then he found himself struggling internally with some things that he had to overcome in order to push forward. And I thought about that yesterday and even today, that oftentimes when we are trying to do a new thing, it's easy because it's a new thing. But when we have to redo a thing that we've already done, mm-hmm. many times it becomes very difficult. Mm-hmm. And so just like us trying to renew ourselves, to reacquaint ourselves, to refresh ourselves, and to be back on point, because we have to ask God to do that and to restore to us that which we've lost. Mm-hmm. And so this particular passage really spoke to me, Lady Kim, because it has a lot to do with us moving ourselves out of the way so that God can be God. Mm-hmm. It's not a question of whether God is God, mm-hmm. but the question, I think, comes, are we going to let God be God?
Right.
And
right.
many times we put ourselves in the way, and it hinders what God is trying to get done in us, because we're so acquainted with ourselves until that sometimes hinders the move that God is trying to accomplish in yes. our situations.
Yes. And we always like to fall back into old habits, mm-hmm. old patterns, old feelings. You know, if we've done it this way in the past, then we need to go back and continue to do that. But God is calling us to do a new thing.
That's right.
You know, when he calls us to rebuild or do something new or something different, you know, like you said, it's easier to do that. But to restore something or to redo something that we've already done, mm-hmm. but do it in a different way.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
that's harder to do, because we always try to revert back to that which we've already done. And so one of your points in there was that we need to not let the enemy beware of the tricks of the enemy.
That's right. That's
not
right.
let the enemy get us off track or sidetrack, because we know that that is the tactic of the enemy. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. Bible says that the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So we cannot fall back into the same old things mm-hmm. That you did before.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's the primary purpose of the enemy, to throw us off track and to keep us away from our God-given purpose and not complete the divine assignment that God has given us. And so he comes in various forms, and he tries to disguise himself many times. But we have to beware of the enemy's tactics, and we have to be mindful that whenever we are doing a great work for God, the enemy is not going to sit back in splendid isolation sure and not. Say, what a great job you're doing. Mm-hmm. No, he's going
to go for it.
That's right. He's going to get extremely busy to try to block us, because he knows that the more we move forward in what God has assigned for us, then the greater the territory that we're going to be able to conquer mm-hmm. for God.
Mm-hmm.
And our witness is going to be greater. Our light is going to shine even brighter. And others are going to see that it was not us, but it was God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that even in that, we have to be mindful of making sure that we understand the tricks of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes
mm-hmm.
in various forms. He comes in different disguises. But once you get a clear signal when things start to go awry, if you will, then we know that the enemy is putting his hand in there and trying to cause things to go in a different direction than what God would have.
Amen. And one of the questions you asked or raised, you said, are you the barrier that's blocking God's spirit from working in your life?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and thank you for reminding us of that, Dr. Butler. That's a question, a valid question that we have to ask ourselves.
That's right.
Are we the barrier mm-hmm. that's blocking God's spirit from working in our lives? And your other point was that we need to stay focused in our pursuit to please God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it all ties in together because if we don't stay focused, then we won't gain ground and we won't accomplish the spiritual. We want to keep our spiritual momentum going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be mindful of that and not lose sight of our goals. And I think I made reference to the fact that it's important for us as believers, as leaders, as to make sure that we have a vision and a mission and not just haphazardly do things and not just get up in the morning and say, well, whatever happens, happens. And so we're playing right into the enemy's hands when we do that. We have to make sure that we have some goals, we have a vision, we have a mission, and we're constantly coming before God and seeking God's direction every morning that we get up. Because if not, you'll find yourself playing right into the hands of the enemy, and you're really not accomplishing anything for God.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and that last point, like you said, just rolls right into that, and that was don't allow discouragement to shackle your vision.
Right, right.
And so easily we can allow discouragement to cloud our vision. I think that's what you meant by shackle,
mm-hmm.
you know, to cloud our vision so we are not able to see clearly what God wants us to do.
That's right.
Or how we need to move forward. When you get discouraged, you know, you start feeling like people say some kind of way,
mm-hmm,
you know, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to do. You start having all kind of doubts and frustration sets in. But we have to keep in mind that discouragement is just a tactic of the enemy.
That's right. That's
to
right.
keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And so we have to continue to stay focused, in our pursuit to please God, and beware of the tricks of the enemy, and don't allow discouragement to cloud or shackle our vision.
That's right. Jesus himself says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that whole self, you know, we are more familiar with ourselves than we are with anything else. And oftentimes we get so accustomed to trying to please ourselves until we don't yield to the Holy Spirit's guidance and letting the Spirit be in complete control and letting God be God.
Right.
So if we want to see breakthrough in our lives, if we want to see healing, if we want to see deliverance, we have to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and allow God to order our steps and lead us in the way in which he would have us to go. And many times it might not feel like you want it to feel, or it might not feel comfortable, because we're so used to being in a comfortable situation.
Mm-hmm.
But God has not called us to be comfortable,
mm-hmm.
but he did call us to be conformable mm-hmm. to his will and to his way.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that being conformable is not a smooth transition.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a difficult situation. But I think the more we release ourselves to the lead of the Spirit, mm-hmm. the more we yield ourselves to God, and the more we say, God, not my will, but let your will be done, then we'll see how God is God in every situation
Amen.
That we undertake to do or say.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is. Awesome word on yesterday.
Bless you. And then we kind of closed out talking about our experience. And, you know, really, Lady Kim, I tell you, God has been so faithful and he's been so kind toward us and through danger seen and unseen. And so we have to give him praise. We have to give him glory because we both tested positive for COVID. And I did first. And then several days later, you did. And I talked about that, how God sustained us in the midst of that the doctors told us 5 days quarantine, and 5 days was not good enough. I wanted to make sure that I was not contagious. And we missed Mother's Day for the first time, probably, that I can remember since we've been in the church at ATOP. But it was a hard thing. But the interesting thing about it, and I tried to make reference to that yesterday, for those who have not been vaccinated, then I can't even imagine what that would have felt like in terms of being tested positive. We had both mild symptoms, but we both have been vaccinated and both have received our boosters. And I just can't even imagine what someone who perhaps had not been vaccinated, had not yielded to any of the vaccines, and they were tested positive, had to go through, because we experienced the chills, we experienced the coldness, the cough, all of the fever. I had a fever that first night and all of that. But God sustained us. And then we got a call even before worship that our father of the church, Director Hughes, William Hughes, that he was on his final
transition
and getting ready to leave us. And they were waiting for us to come from the worship experience to be there with the family and to be there. And I praise God for his wife, Elizabeth Hughes, and for his granddaughter, Elizabeth.
Mary Webber.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for how they have been so faithful and so generous, and they have been very cordial in this whole process. And they were waiting for his pastor to get there before they released him. And we stayed there with them most of the evening. And William Hughes, he has made his transition, but we yet give God praise for his life.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. All of that weighing heavy on us during service.
Doing service.
Amen.
Right.
But God is faithful and he's just.
Yes.
And so we do give God thanks and praise for Director Hughes, a giant that was among us.
That's right.
And we give God praise for his life.
Okay. Well, we're in Joshua, the 22nd chapter. We're just giving a little recap. And so we took off last Monday because neither of us were feeling well enough to go ahead and proceed with the study. And we praise God that we've made it through, and we're here, and we're getting ready to close out Joshua here in the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
By the end of this month, we should be through Joshua, Lady Kim, and getting ready to start in June a whole new study. We're going to do some Job. We're going to go into Ecclesiastes, and we're going to just walk through those books and just see what God has for us. Proverbs, that's going to be a very interesting study.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking forward to that, but we're looking forward to closing out Joshua as well. And so what we find here in this 22nd chapter, just a little refresher, a title, a good title would be When the Battle is Over.
Yeah.
When the battle is over. I think that's a song,
yes,
too, isn't it?
When the battle is over.
Mm-hmm. Shout now.
Huh? Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. You should get ready to sing?
No, I'm not going to sing.
Oh, okay. But this is what they are experiencing now. They have portioned out the land. Mm-hmm. They have moved across Jordan River. They have conquered the Canaan that had been promised to them through Abraham and God. And now they are in the promised land. Joshua is still at the helm. Mm-hmm. He's still leading the people. They have made all of the necessary distributions and allotments. All of the tribes of Israel have been blessed as a result of what God had promised them in terms of their inheritance, mm-hmm, and how he had told them that this would come to pass. And so it's been some 7 years now, Lady Kim, and some of the tribes, they were ready to go back, and they had already said that they would. Because what I thought about when I was reading that is that even though the warriors were in battle, not the complete families went with them.
Right.
And so there were families still left in Israel. Was it Israel, mm-hmm, when they moved over to Canaan?
Yes.
And they had to continue to maintain a lifestyle, even though they were going on a conquest, the soldiers and the warriors, in terms of conquering and you know, inheriting the promised land that God had promised them. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of that, it was over some 7 years. And so a lot of these people had been away from their families. They had not had an opportunity to be with their families. And so now the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, they are getting ready to make their way back home.
Right.
And so what Joshua is doing here, he gives them, first of all, honorable discharge. Mm-hmm. And he lives up to what the promise was that had been established between Moses and God and between Joshua and God. Mm-hmm. And then he commended them. He also discharged them from their service because mm-hmm. The battle was over.
It was over.
They had already inherited all of the land. They had already received all of the distribution of the land. And then he admonished them. And one of the things that really stuck out to me in the first part of that Joshua, the 22nd chapter, is that he blessed them, mm-hmm. and then he sent them forth. So he went through almost a ceremonial release, if you will, mm-hmm. so that they could go back home and be a part of what they had left behind, mm-hmm. and continue to carry the legacy. And when he blessed them, he gave them spoils from the wars that they had fought in so that they could share with their families once they got back on the other side of Jordan. Mm-hmm. And many times I think people think that since they were not in the battle, they should not have rights to enjoy the spoils of the battle. Mm-hmm. But that was not the way it was established. Those who were left behind still had an opportunity to enjoy the spoils. Mm-hmm. And by the spoils, all of the blessings, all of the tangible riches
that they had. The gold and silver, right. that they had taken from the enemy.
Right.
Once they conquered that area, mm-hmm. they were able to take that back to the families who were left back at home.
That's right.
And they were just as entitled to the spoils as those who fought in the battle, because like you said, they were at home maintaining the homeland. That's just like when our soldiers go off to the Vietnam, mm-hmm. went off to the Vietnam War, to Desert Storm. Mm-hmm. We were still here maintaining, or Iraq, or you know, those that fought in other wars. We were here maintaining, and when they came back, you know, they were able to enjoy some of the things that were here. It's a little different from what happened there. But, you know, in this particular chapter, in the 22nd chapter, they brought home the spoils to the people who were there at home.
That's right. That's
right. You know, and so, like you said, they're just as entitled to the spoils as those who fought in the war.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And so even though they had made all of these decisions, and Joshua was at the process of blessing them, discharging them, commending them, and admonishing them, and then there came an honest concern that came before the people as they are preparing to make their transition back to the other side of the Jordan. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, Joshua and the children of Israel, who were already in the promised land, they had to deal with what these tribes, the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, had decided that they would build an altar, mm-hmm. on this side of the Jordan to remind them about what they had already accomplished, mm-hmm. as they were going on the other side of Jordan. Mm-hmm. But
it was misinterpreted.
It was misinterpreted.
Their altar building was misinterpreted.
That's right.
You know, and one of the things, and I don't want to digress much, but, you know, when Joshua discharged them to go home, having fulfilled their mission and kept their promise, the tribes were, you know, free to go back to their home. Mm-hmm. God had given his people rest, and I think that's important. It talked about God giving his people rest. And that concept of rest is important in the book of Joshua and means so much more than simply the end of war.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
when he talked about it, you know, he gave them rest, more than just rest from war. The word carries the meaning of both victory and security.
Right.
And it involved Israel having their resting place in the land.
Wow.
And so God promised to give his people rest, and he kept that promise.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a spiritual application here too of the rest for God's people today. And you know, when we trust Christ as Savior, we enter into rest because we're no longer at war with God.
That's right.
You know, so when we make that transition from sinner to saint, we're not warring against God any longer.
Mm-hmm.
We have become a partners with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we yield ourselves completely to him and claim our inheritance by faith, then we enter into a deeper rest and enjoy our spiritual riches in Christ Jesus.
That's good.
And so I thought that was important to bring out. So when we come to him, he gives us rest.
That's
him,
right.
Who? When we come to Jesus,
that's
when
right.
we come to Christ,
that's right.
he gives us rest. When we take his yoke of discipleship, we find a deeper rest, a different kind of rest. You know, we're no longer warring against God
mm-hmm.
in the spirit realm.
That's good. And Jesus himself says, my yoke is easy.
Yes.
And my burdens are light.
Yes.
And that we find rest. And so that's a very interesting analogy that you just brought out, Lady Kim. And so we definitely need to hear that, because even after they received that rest, we find out that he admonished them, and
mm-hmm.
then the motivation was for them to move forward and go back on the other side of the Jordan. And he blessed them, and they took with them the riches and the spoils, as we said. And then after all of that, these two tribes and the half tribe, they decided that they wanted to build an altar. And it really was misinterpreted in terms of their motivation and their desire. And so this is pretty much where we kind of pick up this story, and it kind of covers the first, the first 11 verses or so of that particular chapter, the 22nd chapter of Joshua, for those of you who are just joining us, because when you start picking it up at a verse number 11, maybe we can read down a little further, because we left off on verse 20, I think, the last time we were together. And then that would kind of bring more clarity in terms of what is happening with what these tribes decided they wanted to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the 11th verse of the 22nd chapter of Joshua, the rest of Israel heard that the people of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh had built an altar at Gelioth, at the edge of the land of Canaan, on the west side of the Jordan River. So the whole community of Israel gathered at Shiloh and prepared to go to war against them. First, however, they sent a delegation led by Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, to talk with the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. In this delegation were 10 leaders of Israel, one from each of the 10 tribes, and each the head of his family within the clans of Israel. When they arrived in the land of Gilead, they said to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, "The whole community of the Lord demands to know why you are betraying the God of Israel. How could you turn away from the Lord and build an altar for yourself in rebellion against him? Was our sin at Peor not enough? To this day, we are not fully cleansed of it, even after the plague that struck the entire community of the Lord. And yet today you are turning away from following the Lord. If you rebel against the Lord today, he will be angry with all of us on tomorrow. If you need the altar because the land you possess is defiled, then join us in the Lord's land, where the tabernacle of the Lord is situated, and share our land with us. But do not rebel against the Lord or against us by building an altar other than the one true altar of the Lord our God. How far?
And what verse is that?
That's the 28.
Okay. We can stop there, but that's...
No, I'm sorry. That's the 20.
20. Uh-huh. That's where we would pick it up at for tonight. And so we see this whole story being... it becomes clear in terms of the misunderstanding about why they built this altar.
Right, right. And you know, before, you know, when the children of Israel disobeyed God, you know, a plague came upon them.
Right, right.
And, you know, some consequences came upon them that they were still, some of the people were still suffering from. Some people died as a result of their disobedience. And so they were angry. They were making sure that they were not being disobedient by building an altar to a strange God or to another God.
Right, right.
So, but I, you know, I'm glad to know that they sent a delegation of people to get a good understanding of what they were doing and why they were doing it.
And so it could have went the opposite direction.
Yes.
They could have just went ahead and went into battle against their own people, because they could have thought that that was part of them saying that they were building an altar for another God other than the God who had already brought them from where they were and into the promised land. And here they are going back. And so the appeal comes forward, and Joshua, as you said, sent representatives to talk to them. And that's when we get into our study for tonight, around the 20th verse of Joshua 22.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how Joshua deals with what seems like an argument or a disagreement, and he comes to some kind of arrangement with them so that everybody could be clear on what this altar was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And so really they put these stones together
and
they stacked them. And they were just trying to set it up as a reminder of what God had done for them as they had as they were getting ready to go back to their homeland.
Mm-hmm.
So it was two and a half tribes that did this, and they had been released. They had been blessed. They were carrying with them the spoils of what they had won in war, and they're going back home. And so they decided that they would build an altar just so. It was a point of reflection
right
at the Jordan River to remind those who would come by and those who had gone before them of what how God had blessed them and sustained them.
Mm-hmm. And it was also a reminder to, you know, everybody, like you said, that they belong to the nation of Israel.
Right.
Went from years, you know, years after years and years and years had gone by. They didn't want the people to forget that they too belong to the nation of Israel. By building a large altar of stones by the Jordan River on the Canaan side as a reminder to everybody that the two and a half tribes belong to the nation of Israel. You know, had these tribes been living in the land of Canaan where they belong, nobody would have questioned their nationality.
That's right. That's right.
But living outside the land gave the impression that they were not Israelites.
Right.
And so they wanted them to know that they were indeed Israelites. And, you know, you can remember for a while, but after generations and generations come, they might forget.
They might
so
forget.
They didn't want them to forget. So that was their purpose for building the altar there as a reminder, as a remembrance, not in rebellion to God, but as a reminder and a remembrance for all that God had done for them.
Okay, okay. So we pick it up now at about verse number 20 of the 22nd chapter of Joshua, and just kind of giving some reflection and point of reference in terms of what has already transpired. And then we see Joshua as he gets ready to deal with how he's going to come to some kind of resolve as it relates to this issue that has come before them.
Okay. So you want me to read until where?
How many verses? 39?
34, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
34.
Yeah, you go ahead and read all of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It says, don't Didn't divine anger fall on the entire community of Israel when Achan, a member of the clan of Zerah, sinned by stealing the things set apart for the Lord? And we talked about that a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Then the people of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh answered the heads of the clans of Israel. The Lord, the mighty one, is God. The Lord, the mighty one, is God. He knows the truth. And may Israel know it too. We have not built an altar in treacherous rebellion against the Lord. We have done so. If we have done so, do not spare our lives this day. If we have built an altar for ourselves to turn away from the Lord or to offer burnt offerings or grain offerings and peace offerings, may the Lord himself punish us. The truth is, we have built this altar because we fear that in the future your descendants will say to ours, what right do you have to worship the Lord,
right,
the God of Israel? The Lord has placed the Jordan River as a barrier between our people and you people of Reuben and Gad. You have no claim to the Lord, so your descendants may prevent our descendants from worshiping the Lord. So we decided to build an altar, not for burnt offerings or sacrifice, but as a memorial. It will remind our descendants and your descendants that we too have a right to worship the Lord at this sanctuary with our burnt offerings, sacrifices, and peace offerings. Then your descendants will not be able to say to ours, you have no claim to the Lord. Mm-hmm. If they say this, our descendants can reply, look at this copy of the Lord's altar that our ancestors made. Is it not for burnt offerings or sacrifices? It is a reminder of the relationship both of us have with the Lord. Far be it from us to rebel against the Lord or turn away from him by building our own altar for burnt offerings, grain offerings, or sacrifices. The only altar of the Lord our God that stands in front of the tabernacle may be used for that purpose. When Phinehas the priest and the leaders of the community and the heads of the clans of Israel heard this from the tribe of Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh, they were satisfied. Mm-hmm. Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, replied to them, today we know the Lord is among us because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord as we thought. Instead, you have rescued Israel from being destroyed by the hand of the Lord. Then Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, and the other leaders left the tribe of Reuben and Gad in Gilead and returned to the land of Canaan to tell the Israelites what had happened. And all of the Israelites were satisfied and praised God and spoke no more of war against Reuben and Gad. The people of Reuben and Gad named the altar Witness, for they said, it is a witness between us and them that the Lord is our God
too. The Lord is our God too. Isn't that something?
Yes.
And so they came to a mutual agreement and an understanding. Mm-hmm. And I think that should help us in terms of understanding the importance and the significance of us at least trying to figure out and have some kind of conversation if we don't understand others' motives or their mm-hmm. intent, mm-hmm. because that could have very easily became a bloody war if they had not decided to sit down. And I praise God for how the Lord used Joshua in his discernment and his wisdom in making that happen so that they could be clear on the intent. But these tribes, they had no intent of trying to usurp the power of the children of Israel who had crossed over to the promised land, nor did they have any intent of trying to build an altar for another God other than the same God who had brought them over, and they wanted to be a reminder of what God had done.
Mm-hmm.
And so, amen. As you said, they named it a very interesting name,
yes.
Witness. And so it served as a reminder of just how good God had been. And the same God that brought the children of Israel over Jordan, and the same God that allowed these tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh to be a part of the Jewish nation, It's the same God that they wanted those who were coming behind them to understand that they were in 100% support and unity of what God had done for them, and not to lose sight and not let it to fall by the wayside, and not let generations coming behind them remember the God who had brought them over.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because they were on different sides of the Jordan.
That's right.
And
that's
they
right.
wanted to make sure that there was no misunderstanding that they worshiped the same God.
That's right.
They praised the same God who had brought them out. And so, you know, the accused tribes made it clear that they weren't setting up a rival religion, because the altar they built wasn't for sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
It was like putting up a witness that would remind the tribes west of the Jordan that Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh were part of the Jewish nation.
Mm-hmm. Altar witness. Isn't that something?
Yes.
And we need to have that in our lives too, because we need to have a visible manifestation of the presence and the power of God for others to see. And I often say that our behavior should match our belief.
Amen.
And so people should know that we are God's, and that we know God, and we know who's and whose we are. And many times people try to go around and disguise to be a Christian, but when push comes to shove, they won't take a stand for the cause of Christ.
Mm.
And so we have to make sure that our visible witnesses of such that people know that we love God, and it's by the way we handle people, by the way we treat people, by the way we love the work of God, and by the way we invest our time and our energy and our effort in the cause of Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. So that's really kind of bringing us to the close of this 22nd chapter here tonight. If there are any prayer requests, you go ahead and make those known to us. We have been talking about the 22nd chapter of Joshua and just kind of reflecting on this whole process of how they really talked about how the battle was over, and how Joshua, he gave the tribes honorable discharge as they prepared to go back to be with their families. And there was the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, and how he really laid it out in a ceremonial way and acknowledged them before the people and admonished them and blessed them. And then they found out that there was an issue, because they decided, even as they were getting ready to cross back over the Jordan, that they would build an altar. And they wanted to make sure Joshua, and I admire him for his wisdom in sending a delegation to get a good explanation of what was going on before they just took up arms and decided to take them out.
Right, right.
And so that's basically what's happening here in this 22nd chapter. Anything else you want to
I just like the way it ended, you know, that the delegation went and got a good understanding the purpose, why they did what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they, like you said, they didn't just go to war, because they had taken up arms. They were going to war to fight against them, because they were upset. They said, you know, we suffered before. You know, for disobeying God, and we're not going to suffer as a group again for disobeying God. And if these 2.5 tribes have disobeyed God by building an altar, we're going to deal with this.
That's right. That's
so, right. So, it reminded me that we always, like the old folks used to say, and I keep saying old folks used to say, I forget I'm old folks.
Oh boy.
That, you know, if you're gonna get anything, get understanding, get
That's right.
good understanding.
That's right.
You know, if you're not understanding something, go to the person and ask them.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be surprised. Sometimes the enemy plays tricks with our minds.
That's right.
And we thinking one thing, and it's altogether something different.
And that's part of what we were talking about yesterday, because the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's really a battle for our minds, Lady Kim, as we were talking about earlier, and how the enemy tries to confuse us, and he tries to throw us off track. And if he can cloud our minds and cloud our understanding and throw us off track in our thinking, and then we start doing things in the natural. I turned my phone on and it was the volume was up. But when we start getting things all twisted in our minds without getting clarity, then the enemy sits back in isolation and just watch us destroy ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be mindful of the enemy's attack and his the ploys of the enemy and how he will use our minds to confuse us and throw us off track. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, you're getting a couple of prayer requests coming
in? Yes, I'm writing prayer requests down.
Okay.
And you mentioned some happy birthdays to your sister, his sister Gloria Palmer in Birmingham, Alabama. Happy birthday, sister-in-law. We love you. And then Brother Martez says today is his birthday.
Is that right?
So happy praise birthday. God. Happy birthday to you, Brother Martez. May God add many, many more years to your life.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And then we have some prayer requests that have come across. One sister, Jessica, asked prayer for her co-worker, Darren, for healing and strength.
Okay.
And, of course, we have a prayer request for the Hughes family and the loss of Director William Hughes, a giant in our community. Prayers for that family. They're so dear to us. He was the father of Atop.
That's right.
And so we're going to miss him dearly. But the Hughes family, the funeral, the family hour will be on this Friday at Atop from 4 to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then the funeral will be on Saturday at Atop at 11 o'clock a.m.
That's right.
So the funeral is at Atop at 11 o'clock on Saturday the 21st. The family hour is there on Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. And then our dear mother, Gracie Bradley, in the loss of her son, Kenneth Cato. And Kenneth is also the brother to Brother James Cato and the uncle to Tevin Cato, who are members of ATOP also. Brother Kenneth, they're going to also have a family hour at ATOP on Friday, but it's going to be from 11 to 1.
Right.
That's going to be from 11 to 1, so there's going to be a busy and long day on Friday, but I'm sure that God will sustain us. And then we want to lift up Sister Deborah Taylor and the loss of her nephew, Leon Scott. The funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time, but we will let you know what those funeral arrangements are. And yes, someone asked to lift up social anxiety and, you know, the people that have lost their lives in Buffalo,
horrible.
New York, and shootings and murders all over the place. It's out of control. And so we just pray a spirit of peace upon our country, peace in our communities. Let God deal with these people that have mental instability. Amen. So,
I think we had a couple of more. Did we have a couple more prayer requests as we were looking there?
I didn't see any.
Okay.
But continue, please, to lift up all of our sick and shut in your prayers. Again, you know, our hearts are just so heavy as we've lost William Hughes. The information about Mr. Hughes was finalized on this afternoon, and so that information will be going out publicly real soon. So we're making it public right now that that the funeral will be on Saturday at ATOP at 11, and the family hour will be on Friday at ATOP from 4 to 7 p.m. So you can feel confident about that, or comfortable with that information going out now. And then we want to lift up Brother Andre, continuous healing for his back. Mm-hmm. Amen. We want to pray for Brother Andre
right.
and his back.
Good to see Sister Valerie on the call tonight. And as she's indicated, she knew the Hugheses when she was here in Memphis as a part of our ministry. And, of course, a tremendous gift to the body of Christ all the way down in Pensacola, Florida. And so it's good to see you on the call tonight. Give our regards to your family as well. And we praise God for all of the prayers that we have received. Amen. Even as we were going through this this bout with COVID and testing positive. But God sustained us in the midst of it all.
Yes,
and
he did.
We're certainly grateful for the prayers, the calls, and the support of the congregation and even those who are on the call tonight that didn't know. Thank y'all so very much mm-hmm. for your concern.
And one thing, you know, I neglected to mention yesterday, I guess I was so concerned about and so caught up because they let us know during service again, I think we said this at the beginning of Bible study, they were waiting on us to come to the hospital, mm-hmm. you know, so that the director could make his transition. And I was kind of distracted throughout the service just thinking about that. My heart was so heavy. But I neglected to thank ATOP for the beautiful flowers for Mother's Day. Yes, we were out because we were sick. First Mother's Day that we've ever missed church that I can think of. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the church presented flowers, and my daughter brought them and dropped them off at the door.
Right.
And so thank you so much, ATOP, for your love and showing your love and presenting me with the flowers for Mother's Day. And, of course, my husband presented me with beautiful flowers. And so I thank God for that. I got so many beautiful flowers. My children gave me beautiful flowers, and I got gifts. And so thank you all so much for your love and your kindness that was shown on Mother's Day to little old me.
All right. Well deserved, and we love you. And we thank God for you, Lady Kim. We appreciate everything that you're doing. And I heard a very interesting title on yesterday as we were in the hospital mm-hmm. and we were standing around and preparing and singing songs. Mm-hmm. I was not singing, of course, but you were. And I think somebody said, Pastor Kim. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yes.
And so that rang clear, and it sounded real good. Pastor Kim. Yeah, I like that.
Leo kept calling me that.
Pastor Kim. Yep. And so, Pastor Kim, we love you and we appreciate you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
well, our time is about out, and we're going to go ahead and close out, Lady Kim. And next week, where are we going to be next week?
We'll be in the 23rd chapter, Well, you know, we might be able to do 23 and part of 24 because mm-hmm. there are only 16 verses mm-hmm. In the 23rd chapter.
Okay.
So verses 1 through 16 in the 23rd chapter. And then the 24th chapter has 33 verses.
Okay.
So maybe we can get through part of 33 and then that next week
we'll close out,
uh-huh. wrap up. Uh-huh. And then we'll be able to start a new book in June.
Right, right. That's right. Okay. All right. Well, will you close us out tonight with a word of prayer?
Sure. Let us go to God in prayer. God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. You're worthy to be praised, God, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Lord, we honor you tonight.
We honor you, God.
God, we thank you for all that you have blessed us with. We thank you, oh God, that you look beyond our faults and you meet every need. We thank you, God, that you know us because you've numbered the hairs on our head.
Thank you, God.
We thank you, God, for Brother Darren tonight, God. We ask that you would heal and strengthen him.
Yes, God.
Touch Brother Andre's back tonight, God.
Yes,
strengthen
God.
His back. Strengthen
Hallelujah.
His legs.
Hallelujah.
Let him run on to see what the end will be,
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
We pray for all those who are sick among us, oh God. We bind that spirit of COVID-19
yes,
right now
God.
In the
yes,
name
God.
Of Jesus.
Jesus.
We thank you tonight, God, that you are continuing to go forth being a healing force in our bodies. And we bless you tonight, God. Now, God, we lift up the Hughes family to you, God.
Yes, God.
Oh, God, we ask that you would comfort Mother Hughes right now. Strengthen her, God, and keep her as she mourns the loss of her husband of 73 years.
73.
Oh, wow. God, that was a lasting marriage. 73 years they were married,
Glory
God.
God.
So we know, God, it's going to be a transition or an adjustment for her. Oh, God, so we ask that you would bless Mother Hughes, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask that you would touch Sister Gracie Bradley in the loss of her son, God. Touch Brother James Cato and Tevin tonight, God, and their other siblings as they grieve the loss of that son and that brother, oh, God. Comfort them as only you can. Lift up the Taylor family tonight, God,
Thank
as they
God.
Grieve the loss of that nephew, God. We ask, oh God, that you would just bless them and keep them, oh God, and give them peace in the midst of what they're going through. God, we lift up Sister Jennifer Johnson to you and the Johnson family and the Briscoe family and the loss of that uncle. Touch
yes,
right now,
Do
God,
it,
in
God.
The name of
Do it,
Jesus.
God.
We ask that you would give them comfort and peace as they go through the loss of their uncle. And we love you tonight, God. We bless you and we honor you. We ask that you will continue to look upon Anointed Temple of Praise with favor and grace, oh God. That you will continue to provide all that we need according to your riches and
yes,
glory.
God.
Oh God, strengthen our leaders today as we embark upon a new leadership training. We ask that you would bless the teachers in the leadership training, God, that you would bless each person that they take their role seriously in the body of Christ so that we might be able to go forth and to win disciples and win the lost to you, God. And we thank you for the mighty mandate that you've given to us as soldiers carrying the bloodstained banner of Jesus, calling out those that need to come and give their life to you. We thank you, oh God, that they're going to come from the east, the west, the north,
thank
and
you,
from the
thank
south,
you, God.
Oh God, and commit their lives to you. We love you tonight,
we
God.
We love you, God.
We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you for giving us peace in the midst of our storms. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and praise. Amen and thank God.
Amen and praise God. All right. Thank each of you for being a part of this time together. And for those who will hear this particular lesson by playback. And we hope that you have a fantastic rest of the evening and continue to trust the timing of God and let God be God.
Amen. Bye, everybody.
Be
See
blessed.
You next Monday. Bye-bye.